Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Women Excelling Everywhere. I am your host, Julie Anderson, and I am so happy to be here again with another wonderful, wonderful interview with a dynamic woman who is excelling in her field and here to share her story. We are here with Linan Zazali today. Linan, thank you for being on the Women Excelling Everywhere pod.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. This is childhood education, or child education is a passion of mine, having homeschooled my kids for many years and just knowing the brain and the learning brain and the developing brain and how important education and building a good, strong self-esteem is. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. I'm going to go ahead and read Linan's professional bio. Let me put my glasses on so I don't murder it too bad. Linan Zazali was a public school teacher in New Jersey for 12 years, on track to becoming the principal. Equipped with two master's degrees and a passion for education, she has seen a lot as a teacher, from high schools in rough communities to quieter elementary schools. However, while looking for childcare for her then preschool age son and infant daughter, she was inspired to change careers and own her own education academies as a franchise called With the Learning Experience. With a loan from her family and limited business experience, Linan invested in her first center in New Jersey, which opened in 2008. She now owns 9 locations, as well as three additional underdeveloped throughout the New York Tri-States area. Over the years, Linan has earned multiple franchise leadership awards from the Learning Experience, including earning the Chairman's Award and on two separate occasions, and has loved being a part of the brand, committed to continuous improvement and progression, not only through proprietary curriculum development, which I'm really interested to hear about, and state-of-the-art technology, but also through a brand that deeply cares about the success of the franchise. So welcome again, Linan Zazali, to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's such an interesting thing to go from being a teacher to being a business owner. Like that's a big gap. But let's go kind of before that into education period. Like, what made you want to be a teacher and work with kids in the school system?
So I can actually go all the way back to my childhood. Ever since I was little, you know, you pretend, and I would always pretend to be a teacher. So back in the day, we had chalkboards instead of dry erase boards. And I was constantly role playing being a teacher. So I had my whole class in my basement pretend. I had my dolls set up, and it was just something that, you know, I just always loved. I think teachers are very influential, and in my life, you know, even as a child, you know, those were the people that I looked up to. And I just felt like there's no better profession. And to me, you know, I wanted a field where it was something that I looked forward to, and it didn't feel like a job, but it felt like, you know, a lifestyle. And that's, you know, really what I felt about teaching. And that's why I went into it.
I love that. I love it that it was, you know, oftentimes what we dream about being as a child is far from what we become as an adult, but you actually, that worked for you. That's pretty cool. Now, as I kind of led to making the move from, I say 9 to 5, but being a school teacher is not a 9 to 5. It's much different, but from a career where you have someone else basically structuring your schedule and your days off and all of that, right? Going from that position into an actual business owner, where you now have to wear the CEO cap and you have to run everything. That's a pretty big change. So what made you decide that you wanted to become a business owner, especially of something like a child? I mean, we kind of heard with your kids, but you know, you have multiple childcare centers. What made you want to make that transition?
Well, I think initially I was going for my second master's in educational leadership. So naturally that would bring me to a position as a supervisor, a principal, and I had two young children. So at the time I had a nanny and I started looking for childcare for my children, both of them. My daughter was, you know, a baby and my son was just before turning three. So they're 21 months apart. So I started doing my search. I would visit, go on tours. And every time I went on a tour, I had tears in my eyes. And I just thought to myself, like, how do I leave my children with strangers? How do I leave them with people that I don't know? And that was, it was very scary for me and daunting. So with conversations with my father, you know, I was telling him about it, you know, this is going to be so hard. How do I leave them? And he had said to me, why don't you just open up your own childcare center? And at first I thought, okay, I'm a teacher. There's no way that I can own my own business. How would I go about doing it? And at first I thought this is just a crazy suggestion. But then I went back, I was a reading specialist at the time in Pequannock, New Jersey. And I started doing research. I started, you know, looking at commercial property, you know, what do I need to open up my own childcare center? And then in the search, I started looking up brand names. So I looked up multiple franchises and I wasn't really sure if I should go the franchise route or if I should go, you know, the independent route. So I just continued to search and search and search. And I did have meetings with a couple other franchise companies, but then I came across the Learning Experience. And at the time, they were much smaller and they were based out of New Jersey. Now they're in Florida. And it was a really small office, but I met the owners, you know, of the Learning Experience. And I just fell in love with the people in the office. And, you know, being like a very empathetic person and a people person, I'm very focused on relationships. It just felt right. And I just had conversations with my family. I had conversations with them and I thought this feels good. This feels good. And I think I can do it. So we decided to go for it in 2006. And then 2008 is when I was matched to my first school in Waldwick, New Jersey. And, I wouldn't be honest if I wasn't telling you when I did sign the papers for Waldwick, New Jersey, that I thought, I don't know that I could do this. I love teaching. Like I loved my job and it was something I was passionate about and I could never imagine not being a teacher. And I just had a lot of encouragement from the whole team at TLE headquarters and they were very supportive. Even when I tried to change my mind, they brought me into a room, sat me down and said, you can do this. I know you can do this and you will be very successful. And I was only signing on for one school at the time. And it was just, you know, going into a brand new school that's empty, no children. I have one child with open, a big 1,000 square foot facility. And just the thought, how now, what do I do? You know, I was a teacher. So I felt, you know, my first couple of days, I said to my dad, I said, you know, I'm not teaching right now. And he's like, no, you're not. He's like, you're now in sales and marketing. And I thought, wow, he's right. So now I'm not teaching anymore. But, you know, I did realize over time, and it took me a lot of time to realize this, I'm now teaching also teachers. So now I'm a teacher of teachers. And, you know, it was just, I felt like to answer your question, how did I go from teacher to, you know, business owner? It was from being a mom. It was from being a mom, you know, and my daughter ended up coming to work with me. So she was one of my first preschoolers.
Yeah. So tell us about, because you were obviously passionate about education for children as a teacher, and that was something, and you wanted to get into those management positions where you could make a difference. I'm sure that was part of the drive for you. What was it about this particular franchise, like the Learning Exchange? What was it that, or experience, sorry, not exchange, the Learning Experience. What was it about that particular franchise that made you think, I can make a difference here? I can not just build a business where I can also have my kids, but I can also build a business that's going to benefit other children. Like, why did you choose that particular franchise?
So back in 2006, I chose the learning experience because they had a very unique reading program. And that's my background. So I'm a reading specialist. I'm very much into literacy. I think it's very important. You know, at the early age, we're teaching children how to read. And then as they get older, once they learn how to read, they're reading to learn. And that was something that was so important to me. And when I did visit, even just as a mom, it was one of the components that stood out to me. It's actually purposeful, but it's also fun. It's engaging. Children learn through play, and it made sense for me. So that's why I chose the learning experience. But then also, as the years went on, you know, that company, the learning experience, became so much more than just choosing it because of their reading program. They are very progressive, and they also listen to their people. So any suggestions that franchisees have, they want to hear it because our ideas make the whole company better. And now the learning experience, it's not just about reading. It's not just about math. It's not just about science. But we also have our own proprietary philanthropy program, which is also something very close to my heart, that we teach children deliberately to care about other people at a young age. You know, and it doesn't matter how big or small you are. It's the size of your heart that matters. And that's something that, like, with time, I really pride myself on the learning experience and being part of this, because it's so much more than just teaching children academic. It's also their emotional and social growth, which I see in the world to be like the key to success.
Huge.
Yeah, it is huge. It's not just about like how smart you are, like how your IQ is high. It's about your EQ, right? It's how you can relate to other people, care about other people. It's everything is about building relationships now, especially more so than ever since COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Since COVID and since the bigger part that technology and social media plays a role in our lives, you know, you combine those, it's and our the young ones that are in this preschool age or in elementary school, their relationship with human beings is so important because there's so much technology being thrown at them constantly.
Right.
Yeah. So this is, it's interesting because you chose not just a childcare center, but an actual early childhood education to build your business around, which I think is important. And I love what you were saying about reading, because as the brain lady, right, one of the things that I emphasize to when I am speaking to that group, to a group of parents, is that engaging with them in conversation and reading to them in those very, very young years is so incredibly important, because the brain goes through this pruning, you know, thing before elementary school, and things that aren't getting used literally get pruned out. Areas of the brain, neurons that are inactive, right? They get that, those areas get pruned out. So you want to keep those reading, language, all of that, just like on fire in the brain, so that the brain will hold on to all of those connections.
Yeah, so I love that. Yeah, I love that you just shared that, because something that we're really focused on is the intentional classroom. And it's really like, you know, observing children, whether it's with literacy or whether it's just them playing with blocks, you know,
yeah.
Talking to other children, but to be able to ask them, you know, open-ended questions, which I think is exactly what you're saying, is, you know, getting those creative juices going and, you know, using the part of their brain that's going to help them to grow and develop. Rather than keeping it stagnant, you know, not putting children into a box where, okay, today we're going to make a robot and the robot's going to look like this, but letting them be able to come up with their own ideas.
Yeah, that's beautiful too, because that helps them to foster their, I would think as well, to foster their self-confidence, right? Because you're not telling them, look, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if you don't do it this way, then you are wrong, right? But when you give them the opportunity to expand and explore their own ideas, now yeah. It's shifting, and you're giving them that confidence that can carry them for the rest of their life, for sure.
No, I wish I had it because it's as you're talking, you're making me think about so many different things over here. But it's all about taking risks. So, right, when you allow them to be creative and you're not saying this is the right way, there's really no right way and there's really no wrong way, right? So, but you're letting them take a risk with which does create confidence. But when you say there's a wrong way, that child's just trying. They're just trying to do it this way, right? Because they don't want it to be wrong. And I think, like in life, as you said, to carry you forward, life is all about risk taking.
And a lot of times that gets stunted so much in those early years. And when you stunt it in those early years, you don't even realize it when you're an adult, right? You don't even make those traces back to say, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's because as I talk about when I'm talking about mindset and getting past block, you know, the insignificant things said to you by significant people in your life. And I include teachers in that significant people because teachers have such a huge influence on the developing mind and the developing brain. And if, you know, if you're constantly, as you said, trying to fit them into this one block, this one box, this one set of doing things, you know, we don't want little mindless minions. We actually want people to come up with solutions to the problems. And in order to do that, they have to be able to utilize their own gifts in their brain. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you do a lot of this kind of play and exploration in your centers.
Yes. A lot of choices. Our children have, they're exposed to lots of different, avenues in the classroom, lots of manipulatives, multi-sensory. But they are definitely like encouraged to take a risk. They're encouraged to, to try something new. And we also, like you had mentioned before, it's just having those conversations with them. Conversations are key. And it's really interesting what they come up with. It's also a lot of fun too.
I've always told people it's so funny. I'm such a unique one. You know, there's certain stages of development that I just love, and one of them is that when people say, you know, they reach the terrible twos, it's like I love that. I love those ages when they're starting to express themselves and starting to explore because you can sit back and you can watch their little brains just growing and expanding. And those are just such beautiful moments to be able to see kids express themselves and be comfortable expert doing so, you know, because that's kind of before they get shut down. And then we mold them. And of course, obviously we want them to have manners and, you know, get along with the other kids and everything. So I'm not saying just let them run willy-nilly, but I'm saying that's a beautiful, it's a beautiful development time. That in the teen years, you know, such a beautiful development time for the brains. So how old are your kids now?
So my son is 20. He'll be 21 in March, and my daughter is 19. So
Wow.
they're both products of the learning experience.
I love it. Now, when you ask them, like, do they appreciate, or do they recognize, not necessarily appreciate, because I'm sure they appreciate you as mom and the things that you did for them, I'm sure. But do they recognize the benefits of the activities and the things that they learn in the learning exchange when they were little?
They do. My daughter actually attended mine, and so her teacher, Miss Carrie, still works for me, believe it or not. So Daniela now is 19. So Carrie's been with me for a very long time. But she does, and actually we were going through I have one box only, like of their school, any like school memorabilia projects that they had. And when the box is full, like I always like replace it with something else because I just want them to have that when they get older. And we were going through it and she came across something she did in her preschool class and she remembered everything about it. And
Oh.
it was really, really cute. And it was pretty, we both like laughed about it, her responses. And then my son, 100%, he did not go to my location because he's a little older, but he did go to the one in Wayne, which was a corporately owned center. And he still to this day remembers his preschool teacher, Miss Kathy, and he still talks about her. So yes, they still remember and they do appreciate it.
That's beautiful. And that's great for any of the listeners who have young children to understand how important that impact is, that positive influence, at such a young age, because it's those memories that are formed, and they can be negative, right? But we want them to be positive. So being in an environment that fosters learning and fosters creativity is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. So now you talk about this particular company, right? The corporate company. How have they supported you along the way? Because obviously, if it's been 19 years, 18 years, however long it's been, 18 years, however long it's been.
Since I signed, 17 years, but my first location has been open for 15 and a half years.
15 and a half years. So that's a long time. And you have multiple franchises now. So how have they supported you as a company? And what did that mean to you as a woman developing her, I don't, for lack of a better word, empire, but her, you know, your businesses over the years?
They are very, very supportive. But I used the word before, progressive, and that's what always sticks with me. Because now more so than ever, we're so focused on a positive work culture for all of our team members. And I feel like they took the lead with it, but they want to hear from us. And they're multi-unit owners, such as myself. They do plan, you know, learning events for us where we go to, you know, TLE HQ, and we learn together, we grow together. But everything I learn from that, I take back and implement with my team. So they're vested in our success. And the way I always describe it is it's more like a business partner. It's a partnership. So like my success is their success, and the more successful TLE becomes as a whole, the more successful I can be. And I feel like we grow alongside of each other. And I think even, you know, things like our philanthropy program that I had mentioned before, I continually talk about it because it's something that's important to me. I do think more than ever, it's just so important to care about people. But we have this partnership with Make-A-Wish. So like as a whole, like we all rally together and we're teaching our little learners to, you know, to raise money to help a child who has a life threatening illness, to be able to give them hope, right? To get through their treatment and to see that maybe, you know, things will be okay and that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's something that we like purposely, you know, teach our children. And that's something that came from the team at HQ. So, and then what a good idea, because it like brings us all together. And we're all like, okay, we want to raise this many wishes or this many wishes. And on a cute little level with our little guys, like at the learning experience, they do things like bake sales. They'll do like a talent show for their families. But they really understand, like they understand, like I'm doing this because I want to help another child. So in terms of support, I mean, it's amazing, but it's like, it's more about like just growing a business. It's about like creating this amazing life, not only for like franchisees, but also for our children and our families and, you know, everybody that works in our centers, you know, our entire team. So
that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Now, how has being, because it go kind of coming back to helping women excel. And the whole purpose of making the brand switch that we did in 2024 to Women Excelling Everywhere, from just focusing on women entrepreneurs, wanting women to excel or have the feeling and the confidence to be able to excel in every aspect of their life, is very important. And that's a big part of our mission. Now, as a mom, how did being a mom, and I'm asking you this question kind of partially because other moms out there that might be listening thinking, oh, I want to become a business owner, or I want to develop a more of my entrepreneurial journey. Like, how has being a mom played a role in your success? What things can they learn as a mom that can help them have success in their business? Mm-hmm.
I guess like two parts. One is, I feel like I'm successful because like my children are my catalyst, you know, and, you know, I want to teach my daughter, right, and my son, what work ethic is about. And that if you want to own your own business and you have that entrepreneurial mindset, you know, it's really about working on your business, not in your business. So if you are a mom, let's say you have young children, it's really, you're the visionary, right? So, and then you have the integrators, right, in your business. And then you have, you know, our team members who are with our kids every day and they're at our centers. So I think, you know, being a mom, it really just makes me stronger because, you know, I want to do this for them. But it's also like, I feel like I'm their role model, right? And my son says it very often, you know, because he sees what I do and he sees like, I was a teacher, I had one school and never thought I would own 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just kept going. And now, you know, I will have 12 very shortly. And who knows, maybe I'll even have more. But I think you can have that balance. But again, it's not working in your business. You have to work on your business. You have to create that team. You have to instill those values. Your mission statement has to be lived out every day. And your core values have to be like part of everybody and everything.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it is very important because you have to build a team. If you want to grow and expand, there's only so much you can do is on your own. And that's building a team is crucial to the growth of your business as an entrepreneur. So as we get ready to wrap up the interview here, this has been a delight. What's the best piece of advice that you would give to women who are listening to help them excel in their entrepreneurial journey, or even just as a mom and as an individual?
So I would say first of all, continuously learn. Something that we have like on my team, we have something called Leadership Lounge and we meet every Tuesday and Thursday. It just happened this way. And maybe I have 270 employees and maybe 4 of them are men, and not by choice. It just organically happened that way. But we read together and we read a lot of leadership books together. So I would say surround yourself with people that just want to soak up knowledge and, you know, they want to continuously grow and become a better person. Because I feel like that's what I do. Like I want to be a better leader for everybody who works with me. You know, I want to lead them. I want to be alongside of them. I want to be their best coach ever and also their biggest cheerleader. So I think that would be my advice. And then the other piece would be to think about what is your end game? You know, because I didn't think about that in the beginning. I thought I would just have one school, that's it. But now I look at it differently and I'm setting up my organizational structure, not for the 8 schools that are currently open and the 9 that I've been matched to and the 3 that are on the way. I'm setting myself up for 12. So my team is really for the 12 schools, not for the smaller number that I currently have, because I want to be able to build into it. And I want to keep everybody on my team. I actually love the people that I work with. I love them. And I want them to continuously grow. And I want to see them achieve more.
That's beautiful. I love that. I always tell people kind of something similar. You know, you have to, if you've got a 5-year plan, start at the end of the 5 years and where do you want to be there? You know, and you have to build a foundation for that, or else you're not going to be able to sustain what it is that you're growing for. So I love that. And that can be applied really in everything, right? If you want to become a parent or you want to be great in a relationship, February is kind of relationship month, you know, so all of those things, it's very good to kind of begin with the end in mind, so to speak, what you want to accomplish. Well, Lynn-Ann, it has been wonderful having you on as a guest. For those of you who are listening, we have lots of ways that you can get a hold of Lynn-Ann. Now, you mentioned that you have 9 or 8 or 9 and you are expanding to 12, and they're kind of all over New Jersey. And did I see a couple in New York?
Yeah, Westchester County, New York. And I have one in Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut. Yes. Yeah.
So best way to get a hold of you would be to, we've got your email. I just don't have it in front of me.
I would say LinkedIn is probably the best way. Yes. Otherwise all the social media pages are each school individually, but LinkedIn is just me. So, and I'm very happy to help anyone.
I love that. I love that. People that might be curious about the learning exchange experience. Why do I keep calling it exchange experience? And or owning your own franchise, or just following and connecting with Lynn Ann to you know, drip from her or take from her wisdom that she drips out is a great way to do that. So once again, Lynn Ann, thank you very much for being a guest on the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are listening, be sure to check the show page. Give us a thumbs up and a share if you think this is information that you know other people could benefit from. Inspirational stories, then by all means, please share that out. We would appreciate that. If you have a topic that you would like to hear discussed on the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast, we would love to have that. Have you give us those that information as well. Just send us an email at info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com. You can also check out our website there. We have different membership levels, different coaching levels. If you would like more direction or more foundation for your business, we are certainly there to support you. Or if you would like to see someone in particular interviewed on the podcast, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, then reach out again to info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com. We also have our private membership that we have launched, where we are just all about growth, whether it's business growth, personal growth, emotional growth. This month it's relationship growth. Next month it'll be self growth. So we're all about supporting women to excel wherever you are at. Parent, business owner, career, whatever it is, we want to help you do that. All right. So with that, we'll close up the show. We want everybody, as I always do, roll your shoulders back, take a nice deep breath. Go out there and simply enjoy every moment. Until next time.